Hey guys, I just want to let y'all know that if you're watching this on YouTube, this episode is audio only. The Patreon is back. If you want and are able to, you can directly support this podcast by signing up for the Would You Die Patreon for only $3 a month. You'll get exclusive content and monthly live streams, and as this brand continues to grow, I'll add more tiers with perks along the way. Also, while you're in the mood for supporting horror creators, check out Fangoria, one of the premier brands in horror. Fangoria has been delivering quality magazines since 1979. Each collectible issue features exclusive articles about your favorite monsters, as well as up-and-coming terrors. Be sure to check out the Fangoria store website for subscriptions and a bunch of cool merch. And while you're there, use promo code WhatDoYouDieShow for 20% off your entire order. That's right, 20% off your entire order. Applies to subscription and one-time orders, applies to the first subscription order only. Now, it's time to talk about Silent Hill.
Death has come to your little town, Sheriff.
Have you ever felt a knife cut through human flesh and scrape the bone beneath?
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Be my victim.
You are all my children now.
Hello, my name is Austin Torres, and welcome to the Would You Die podcast, the show where we talk about our favorite horror monsters and villains. Today, I am joined by Sebastian Susi Bisla to talk about his rock act Ghost Kid and his favorite horror film, Silent Hill. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Like I said, I'm sitting in the car right now because we dropped off some merchandise, and now we're on our back home. So I got plenty of time.
And what better way to kill some time than recording a podcast?
True. Yeah.
So for listeners who are kind of being introduced to you for the first time, how would you describe Ghost Kid?
I would say, I mean, basically it's kind of like my solo project, but it's a little bit more. Oh, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a call right now.
Oh no.
It's always the same shit. It's always like when I'm on the, every time when I try to record something like an interview or podcast or whatever, people are calling me, you know?
That's the rock star life.
It's just my parents. It's not like that rock star. No, but back to the question, I would say, you know, it's more like an alter ego or a persona where I can express things that I probably couldn't express as Sebastian, you know. This is what sums it up. It's something like a relief, you know, where I can tell my own story. I mean, besides like the music project, you know. So yeah, I would say it's like a different side of myself.
That's awesome. Can you kind of describe your upcoming album, which actually, depending on when this episode releases, I lied. I know this episode's going to come out before Hollywood Suicide releases. Yeah. But yeah, can you talk to us about that upcoming album?
So I would say it's something like a concept album. It's like about the downward spiral of a Hollywood diva. And yeah, there is something like a timeline in it, you know. So Hollywood Suicide is basically this try on the way, being an artist, try to live your dream, just try to reach your goals. And it's like, you know, you don't have a weekend, you don't have a work schedule. Even if you're sick, you have to work, you know? So this is kind of like suicide. If you try to live your dream, which is symbolized by the word Hollywood or like the city and general, you know, it's like people are coming there, try to live their dream, and then you're in that spiral, you know? Some of them are gonna make it, but maybe sometimes you're in that downward spiral, you know? So if it would be like a regular job, being a musician or an artist by itself, it's like the shittiest job that you could do, you know, because you give like your fucking everything for literally like no money. So that's the reason why the album is called Hollywood Suicide. And like the first track is basically the beginning, you know, where this Hollywood diva comes to Hollywood, try to live a dream, and then everything starts to get worse and worse.
I gotcha. And I can definitely relate to the struggle of trying to be an artist in like this society.
True. Yeah. Life is too fast nowadays. That's the biggest problem. Like you're distracted by so many things. And I mean, it's really hard to keep the focus, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like, And sometimes when you're an artist or a creative of any kind, like you can find yourself working multiple jobs as you pursue that dream. Or maybe you have like a family you have to raise, but you still have that dream. Like there's so many different ways that struggle can take form.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's always like I said, you know, even I mean, like 2 days after Christmas, where we usually are like celebrating, you know, the last year I had to play a show, you know, so there are no excuses. You just have to do it, you know. And this is like, it's the worst and the best job that you could do, but it's super exhausting and you really have to love that shit just to do it, you know. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's the hardest part, like about being an artist.
And you really have to have that drive because it's something where I think everyone has creativity in them,
Yeah.
but it's very easy to get torn up, like chewed up by the machine, which is like the music or the
Yeah.
film industries.
That's true. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, like if you're just, I think it's in every other genre or like art category, I would say it's always the same, you know. It's even nowadays because we got social media and so on, you know, it became like pretty competitive. And I mean, like, really, to tell your own story, you just have, you know, the focus on yourself, which is like main aspect, and which is the hardest part, you know. This is super, super difficult, I think. Like to find your own identity, and I don't know, just to learn something about yourself, you know. This like, it's hard, you know.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this album to come out because that's like I think a lot of people can relate to that theme and that story. And
I really hope so.
yeah, and it's something where it's like because that's a concept where it's like, you know, it is tough if
Yeah.
you want to pursue that life, but at the same time, I feel like there's something in you that you just have to do it, because it'd be so easy to not do it.
I mean, that's like the other aspect, you know. You wouldn't do it if you wouldn't love it, or for I can tell about myself, it's like part of my personality, you know. So I don't know, well, what else should I do with my life, you know. This is what I do. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, I would say that describes it the best, you know. It's not only a job or something or a passion, it's just a part about my personality, so I can't get rid of it even if I'd like to, you know. And I always used to
Yeah.
say, even if I would be in holidays or something, you know, if I would have a hobby, that would be probably like working on other music projects, you know, or just do paintings and whatever, you know. It's like you can't get rid of that because it's a part of me. I mean, you know, and I think that's the part, like, yeah, sometimes it's hard, you know, because
Yeah.
you can't say, okay, so work day is just 8 hours long. No, it's like 24/7 because you wake up with that shit and go to bed, you know, because it's yourself.
I completely get that because, like, for me, I play a couple musical instruments, but I don't have that drive for music. I like music, I like playing,
Yeah.
but I don't have that thing that where I wake up thinking about that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's probably the more healthy way to do it because sometimes when I try to sleep, you know, I can hear like tracks and I'd like to do it. And the best ideas, they're coming to my mind when I'm already asleep, you know. Of course, you don't wake up and just write a track or just play the guitar, whatever, you
Right.
know. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I could switch on my head, but it is what it is, you know. You have to accept
And well, that's how I am with filmmaking. Like I wake up and I'm thinking
it.
about like horror movies, not just watching them, but like
Yeah.
actually trying to make them. And then I go to bed and I'm thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow for like my film, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're shooting horror movies? Oh, that's sick. I can totally relate to that, you know, but this is another aspect, like about the music. You know, I always
Yeah.
have like a vision in my mind. Every time I'm listening to music, you know, it's like it creates, I don't know, a little movie in my head. You know, this is what I like.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's all about mood and expression and so on. So it's great, you know. If you feel something and you can create that, that's the best thing ever. So, you know, and I totally get that. You know, like movies is, I mean, you're shooting music videos and all that stuff, you know. It's like the aesthetic is as important as the music, I think, you know. And there is so much more to discover if you open up your for other aspects of art. But damn, now I understand why you feel why you're feeling what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
because I shot music videos for other people and I was like directing and producing shit, you know. So and I don't know, I just let it go, because for me it was like the reputation I got out of that, you know, was not like I don't know, it was not a balance with the stress I put in, you know. So yes. And shooting stuff was fucking insane, so props to you that you can do it.
Well, you know, it's like, I feel like any art form, you have to go through that struggle, because like you being a musician, and I have other musician friends, and I'm thinking, how do you guys do that? I could never. And then I do it my own way with my filmmaking.
It's the same thing. Yeah. You know, it's like filming is this one part, you know, make it look great, but as well there are so many aspects like the lighting and whatever, like the right location, so like to find all that stuff. Then you have a schedule, like a timeline, and sometimes people like in the cut fuck it up, you know. Sometimes there are so many things you have to focus on, and I totally get that struggle. It's the same thing, like, you know, I think there is no difference between writing music and shooting videos, you know.
Yeah, and any art form too, whether a person's like a dancer, because you have to be so in tune with your body, and dancing is an art, but it's also extremely athletic.
Yeah.
Our painting, you know, like our photography, there's so much with these different art forms. And what I like about filmmaking is filmmaking's kind of a blend of different art forms, because you need acting, you need photography or cinematography, like capturing images in motion. There's music involved. There's artistry in like the production design and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there is a lot of creativity as well. You know, like sometimes the most minimalistic ideas are the best ones. You know, it's like create a mood. This is like, you know, even if you change colors or something, sometimes it really changes the emotion, you know. And this is what I always love to do when it comes down to music videos, you know, because there is a story like from back in the days where I started this whole project. I wanted to present the album, like the pre-production, to the label the best I can. And I shot with a friend of mine, like, I don't know, 8 music videos in 2 days. Just to have something to underline the music, you know. And it's crazy because you instantly got some colors in your mind, you know, okay, for that track probably red is the right one to pick, you know, and it should look like that and so on. And that really showed me sometimes you don't have to spend a lot of money. It's more like about the idea that you have, you know. It's great. I totally get the point.
I love that. I have to ask because I'm so curious.
Yeah.
Your act, the name is Ghost Kid.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, I mean, you did agree to come on a horror movie podcast, so I am assuming you're a fan of horror movies. Does the name Ghost Kid come from any horror related origins?
Not really. So for me it was like I mean, in my old band, I always wanted to, or I said, maybe one day if I'm going to start something like a solo project, that name just felt right to me, because I always got like this, how can I say it, that it doesn't sound cheesy, you know, but there is something like a lot of darkness in me. I always was attached to some, I don't know, morbid art and like dark shit and so on, you know, so that name just resonated to me in a special way. So I said, okay, good. I wanted to use this name, like if I would start something like that. And I already had a vision in my mind, how it could sound like, what is the look and feel and so on. And that's the reason why I picked the name. But there's nothing like really related to horror movies, you know? And I have to admit something, you know? So it's like, I'm not watching like that many horror movies, because most of the time, I'm disappointed by it, you know. But that's the reason why I love Silent Hill. It's like you, most of the time you really got this splatter stuff and just a few jump scares, but the story's shitty, you know. And I'm not even scared sometimes when I'm just watching a movie or something, you know. It was like everybody fell in love like with Insidious or something, and for me it was like, this fucking demon looks like Darth Maul. Why is this movie even scary? You know, I don't know. I never had a connection to that. But what I really like is, like, I don't know, Silent Hill, it's so down to earth, the whole movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you compare it to Resident Evil, like, which is, of course, like, movie connected to a game, I fucking hated Resident Evil. I was so disappointed because it couldn't represent, like, the vibe from the video games, you know? And I'm super picky when it comes down to horror movies in general, you know? That's the reason why I'm not watching them. Like, I would say maybe I'm a horror movie fan, but I'm most of the time disappointed, so I'm not watching, like, that many horror movies.
I mean, it's okay to have the expectation, you know? And it gets harder as you watch more because you're not scared by as much, you know?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. But I'm glad that you picked Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Because first off, I was hoping there is going to be a connection between the name Ghost Kid and Silent Hill because Silent Hill literally has a ghost kid in it.
Yeah, true.
I was like, I'm going to make the connection. And I'm like, oh, well. I still forced it in there.
but it's like there is a little connection, actually, because like this whole music, for example, in Silent Hill, like with this guy Akira Yamaoka, is it the right name, the guy who's just producing all the music and so on, and I would say the whole vibe, you know, like that this movie represents, that resonates with the music I'm doing pretty well, you know. And I love like this, I mean, Silent Hill, like this whole aesthetic is something that was always in my mind when I was thinking about the aesthetic of my music and like the writing and so on, you know. So I can definitely tell there is something like a connection, even if it's not obvious.
I love that. And something about Silent Hill that really stuck out to me watching it recently, literally like an hour ago, is there's kind of like a duality in tone in Silent Hill, which I really like, because a lot of it is like this very misty, foggy, gray. It's very atmospheric, and like the musical score is like piano heavy with this haunting, beautiful piano melody kind of going through. And another part of it, when the darkness is going over, it feels very industrial with like metal scrapes and sounds in the score. I love that.
That's true. Yeah, me too. It's like, you know, the whole atmosphere is like so sad and monotone, you know, and it's like, this is what I love as well. So, and what I try to implement like many times in Ghost Kid, for myself, I never really succeeded like recreating that kind of vibe. But it's like, when it comes down to the colors, you know, in the real world, everything is sad, you know, like really like this monotone stuff. And when they're entering Silent Hill, everything is almost gray. And what I really love about that movie is like, it makes you feel uncomfortable in a special way. And when you got like this industrial part, is like the contrast of the colors is like so strong. Like you have this really monotone grayish vibe and whatever. And then you have like those really orange, red, dark colors, you know. And this is great. I'm always somebody who's completely like attracted to contrast, you know. And this is what I love about the movie. And I don't know, it just resonates pretty well with myself, you know?
Oh, for sure. Do you remember the first time watching Silent Hill?
I have to say, in the beginning, I was pretty skeptical because I guess Resident Evil was released first, you know? And I love the games. I love the vibe. And then I've been watching the movie and I said, oh my God, those fucking zombies are hissing and they are fast. Who messed this up, you know? So I was so disappointed about the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, good. I love Silent Hill. I love Resident Evil. And okay, let's give it a shot. And what I really loved about that movie, there is literally like no action in there. It's just as simple and minimalistic as the game. I was so happy that they have messed it up, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, with the second part, like, I guess it's Revelations, you know, I didn't like that one that much, you know. It was okay, but not like something that blew my mind. But with that movie, and I mean, it's challenging, like, to really translate the story of a game to a movie, but they did a fantastic job, I think, you know.
I gotta say, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I was finished.
Well, I was just gonna say that, as someone who's never played the video game for Silent Hill, I really enjoy the movie.
I would say they just kept it down to earth, and they just stuck to the roots of Silent Hill. You know, with Resident Evil, they try to, I don't know, how can I say that, they try to make things better or just to push things, make it a bit more action. And I don't know, it was so weird, you know, to me, because that's not the vibe. It's like, I really like it if you just keep great art how it is, you know, don't try to change something that is already great. I would say that describes it the best. Yeah.
And even though I've never played the Silent Hill games, I do know that it is considered one of the greatest video games ever made.
Yeah.
Like all my
Mean,
gamer friends, they speak super highly of it.
yeah, you should give it a try. You know, it's like, yeah, but I always loved like the vibe, you know, and I'm happy that they recreated it in the movie. You know, that's amazing because it's different. If you play a game, it's not like the same thing like seeing it in real pictures, you know, and it was great.
I really like the vibe of the movie. I'm sure I'll probably really like the game. Although the first time I see Pyramid Head, I might just kind of turn it off and come back to it a little bit later. Pyramid Head is scary.
Yeah, but this is another aspect, you know. So what I didn't like about Resident Evil as well is like with the protagonist, you know, she was like super sexy and whatever, you know. And in Silent Hill, they kept the things ugly, you know. Like even Pyramid Head, it looks so weird. Like this tall guy, I don't know, super. I don't know how, having a lot of muscles and so on, but it's still disgusting, you know. It's nothing nice about that. You can't find anything nice in Silent Hill, you know?
There's a very grimy atmosphere to a lot
Yeah,
of it.
true. Yeah, absolutely. And this is what I love because it's the same thing in the games, you know? It's nothing like, I mean, I think that describes it the best way. The game is honest and the movie is honest as well, you know? They don't try to change something. Yeah.
I'm really happy because, like I said, I've never played the game, so to me it's just a good movie, but I'm really
Yeah.
happy that it's a great adaptation of a great game.
That's true. Yeah.
Because like I can
Absolutely.
think there are good movies and also think they're bad adaptations, right? Like I think
True. Yeah.
The Shining is one of the greatest horror movies ever made. It just
Yes.
is. It's also a really bad adaptation of the book.
Yeah. But this is always the same thing, you know. If there is a book, that I don't touch it, you know. So if it's good, so it's pretty hard, like, to make a good movie out of a book, you know.
And
So,
sometimes I do think it's possible to make a good movie off of a good book and have them be
yeah.
complete, because that's what The Shining is, right? Like, and also I think Jurassic Park is a great book. I think it's an even better movie, but the movie is
Yeah.
so different from the book is a lot more adult than the movie.
Yeah, but I totally get that, you know, because it's like if you think about dinosaurs and like the nature and like this big island and whatever, you know, you can create something like that in the book, you know, because it's like a different vibe. If you could see it and you have an imagination of, I don't know what is going on, you know, that's a different thing. But when it comes down to a vibe, you know, or something like, if something is, I don't know, when there is a lot of tension, like when it comes down to horror movies or thrillers or whatever, you know, this is hard to recreate, I think, because it's related. I mean, you have to focus on so many things. It's the lighting, you know. What really fucks me up nowadays is like, I fucking hate those black sclera lenses, you know. I mean, I used to wear them, but I'm covering them like with other contact lenses that it looks a bit different. And every time I'm watching a horror movie and somebody is wearing like black sclera lenses because someone is becoming a demon, you know, I fucking hate that movie. It's like you need somebody with a good sense of aesthetic, like to really make a difference, you know. People want to see something they haven't seen before. And that was the point, like what I hated about Insidious, you know, this fucking demon, you know. It made me so angry. I said, oh my God. This is not cool, you know. This is not scary. It just looks hilarious, you know. And every time somebody's telling me, oh my God, Insidious is such a great movie, I said, no, I fucking hated the movie at the point where I can see the demon, how it looked like, you know? It's weird. I like it more subtle and
yeah,
a bit more down to earth and so on, you know? But no, not that fucking demon.
I gotta admit, I am a huge Insidious fan. I love Insidious. But...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's movies. It's opinions. It's yeah. This isn't Twitter. We're not yelling at each other, you
okay,
know?
Okay, good.
I like when people have different opinions than me. Like, at least with movies. I mean, not to get too existential, but sometimes people have, like, really nasty opinions. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But that's a different conversation. When it comes to movies, it's fine, you know? Because movies yeah. are art, and every single piece of art is going to... hit you is going to affect you different than the person next to you. That's why I think people love talking about movies so much. And although I do admit some people take it a bit too personally.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, there is,
it's like, it's fine.
Different taste. Yeah. It's
exactly.
Like everybody has it. Yeah. So
exactly.
It's nothing. Yeah. There is no right or wrong. You know, it's something like,
right.
I think, yeah. Everybody is experiencing it in a different way, you know, so I totally get that. If you like it, you know, I say, hey, that's good. I don't like it. But,
yeah, exactly. And it also, like, yeah. I didn't make the movie. You're not hurting my feelings.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I mean, you know, even a lot of people love, like, the first Resident Evil movie, and for me, it's horrible, you know.
Right.
So, but,
we
yeah,
all have,
true.
Like, and we all have movies where it's like, oh, we hate these movies, you know, and it's
yeah,
fine.
True.
Or we love this movie and someone else hates it. And I'm like, and that's the fun of movies because I think really any art form, music, video games, you know,
yeah.
we're all going to like what we like based on the tastes we developed over time. Mm. And our tastes are changing too. Like,
true.
I'm trying to think of a movie. Okay, so when I first saw Sinister, when it came out, I hated that movie.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it about 10 years later. I love that movie now. Mm. So I don't know what changed in... The movie didn't change. It is the
yeah.
same exact movie.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Agree. I
like,
mean, sometimes it's changing, you know? I tried to remember if I got kind of like the same thing. No, I guess that this is something that never happened to me, you know? But... I kind of get that because sometimes you just give it a second watch and you feel it like in a different way. I mean, it depends as well, like in the mood you're right in or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's like sometimes you feel stuff you had no connection before, you know? And yeah, I totally get the point, you know, even if it has never happened to me. But yeah, I feel you.
And then I got to admit, I don't know if I said it already while recording. I know I mentioned it before we started recording. But I had seen Silent Hill before, but it was years ago.
Yeah.
I rewatched it today. It was like a brand new... I remembered parts of it, but like
yeah.
not story parts. I remembered like the feeling. I remembered the vibes, but I did not
yeah.
remember any of the characters other than Pyramid Head. And
I mean, sometimes... yeah. I mean, sometimes it's even the opposite way. Sometimes you love a movie in the first place when you're watching it, then you watch it years later and you say, oh, I don't like it anymore. You know, that happens.
I've had that
yeah.
for sure. Like, a lot of movies I'll see in the theater and it's
yeah.
so good. And then I'll buy it and I watch it at home. And I'm like, it's,
yeah.
it's fine.
It's not the same thing. Yeah, yeah, I feel you.
And part of it is because I'm at home, you know, and that does
yeah.
make a difference sometimes.
True. Yeah, I feel you.
But I,
yeah, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, but Silent Hill, I really appreciate, because like there's some shit in that movie I completely forgot about. Like the whole cop character, I did
yeah.
not remember her at all. I forgot Sean Bean was in the movie. And I love, I'll be honest, even watching
yeah.
the movie, I his plot line's not the strongest, so I'd be super engaged in the Silent Hill stuff and, you know, watching the mom and the cop trying to find the daughter. And
yeah,
and encountering what they do. And then it'll cut back to the husband trying to find his wife and daughter. I'm like, oh yeah, Sean Bean's in this movie.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So, I mean, you know, the things I remember the most, and I haven't watched that movie like for a long time as well. I remember just some things that impressed me. You know, that was, for example, like the scene where I guess Elisa was the name, when she's like in this, what is it, like this iron lung, you know, where you can see like this burned kid in there when she becomes evil, you know?
Yeah.
And try to, this is like something that really stuck in my mind. Or, and as well, like those aesthetics. Of course, I remember Pyramid Head, and I remember like the nurses as well, of course, you know?
Oh, yeah.
These are like those key aspects, you know? And the guy with the gas mask in the beginning, you know? And
yeah.
But this is like something that is constantly in my mind, like the whole aesthetic, you know? And as well, like this grayish, like raining, when the ashes like raining.
Yeah.
This is something I can remember, but I'm not remembering like maybe some of the other parts, you know? As you mentioned it, like, you know, the cop, I mean, she's there, but it's not like a huge role, you know? It's nothing that really changes the plot of the movie. It's just something like a side character. And of course, it's not like probably the thing that makes a huge impact, you know? Maybe that's the reason why you can't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you associate the movie like with difference, with a different vibe. I think that's the reason why. Yeah.
And it's the atmosphere, which I think this movie does so well, and something that I did remember. Watching years apart, I do remember I do remember like Pyramid Head and the nurses, but I think that's kind of cheating because like every time I go to like a horror or a Comic-Con, I see cosplayers of Pyramid Head and like the nurses, you know, those are very iconic. So I just scrolling Instagram or Twitter, I'll see Pyramid Head and the nurses. Like, so I'm not going to forget them because those are iconic characters.
True.
But also, like, as you're saying, like the grimy nature of some of it, the misty atmosphere of parts of it, it creates a feeling that it doesn't really go away when you stop watching it, which I really appreciate.
That's true. And I mean, you know, so there is a little side story. So I went like to a house on the lake, you know, just to, I don't know, just, to get a little bit of distance, you know, like from this fast life nowadays, you know, and I was thinking a lot and so on. And I turned on like sometimes the Silent Hill music, you know, and just walked through the woods, like seeing, okay, there was sometimes a little bit dusting as well. And it resonated so well, like with this calm atmosphere, you know. And that's great because it kind of like recreated the sound of the movie. And I don't know why, but it creates something like a familiar feeling, like watching those movies, like the music and so on, you know, it's something for me, it's something like a calm place where it kind of like resonates to, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great. So there is so much more interesting stuff about this whole story, like the aesthetic. And like you said, it doesn't go away because it's so unique in its own way, you know? So there is nothing like you could compare it to. And this is what I love about that. I always love unique stuff. And this is what I don't like about nowadays horror movies, because it's like, I don't know, there was like this era where everybody just created something like, oh, with the possessed person, or I don't know, like this demon, paranormal activity, whatever shit, you know, there was like this era where you got plenty of movies, you know, but there was nothing like really new to it for me, you know, it was always the same thing. And what I can say, like back in the days, for example, you had those iconic horror movies, like, for example, Scream, you know, you had like Friday the 13th, that stuff. You had like Michael Myers and all that stuff. All the stories have been so different, and you had like those iconic characters, you know, and everybody, I mean, all those killers have been so scary in its own way. And I think nowadays it was kind of like the same thing. Nowadays it's like copying a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So maybe that's the reason why I kind of lost connection a little bit.
Well, and I agree, because it is hard to make an iconic character, don't get me wrong, but there's a simply not as many iconic characters coming out in today's generation of horror movies, as opposed to like the 70s and the 80s, where there was much more. And these days, I think a lot of studios are content to just bring out Michael Myers and Ghostface again, you know, like, I mean, Scream and Halloween still make big bucks. I'm surprised that they haven't tried to actually, no, I know the reason, but like, it's only a matter of time before there's another Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, true. Probably. I agree.
You know, exactly. And I know they're making like a Friday the 13th TV show, supposed to be like a prequel called Camp Crystal Lake or something like that. So they're they're making, you know, but like today it's hard because there's not as many of those characters. I mean, a few years back, the new It movies I thought were pretty good, and Pennywise, they did a really good job making him iconic, but that's a book from the 80s.
That's true. But I mean, you know, I would say back in the 80s, you just, it was a lot more focused on your own fantasy and creativity, you know? And I think nowadays you're distracted by so many things like, okay, good lighting and whatever. I mean, just remember like this Blair Witch movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was great because it was so simple. The idea was just great behind that. And in the beginning, nobody really knew if that shit real or not, you know? And I don't know, the whole atmosphere and vibe like with this movie and the whole story around that, it was so scary. But that was just a simple idea. And I've seen that, I guess, like the costs of making that movie, it was just, I don't know, $30,000 or something. And I don't know, they earned, I don't know how many millions of dollars, you know? And that is impressive because the idea is good. And I think nowadays you have seen a lot of stuff. It's so hard nowadays, like, to really create something people haven't seen before. You know, it's definitely more challenging.
But, you know, I do, and that's the thing about art, is it will happen. Like, people are trying. I don't think necessarily the bigger studios are trying that hard. Like, they're content just pumping out Halloween and Scream movies. They brought back The Evil Dead, but I'm okay with that because I love The Evil Dead. Give me all those movies. But I do think there's a lot of good independent horror being released too. I think there's a lot of good stories still. They're just a little harder to find. Yeah. And also, while I think those stories are good, they're not as focused on creating the iconic villain. I don't want to say they're not focused on creating good characters, because I think what I like about a lot of modern horror movies these days is like, I actually root for the characters. Whereas like an old Freddy or Jason movie, I'm rooting for Freddy and Jason.
Yeah, but so, I think maybe you got a connection as well, like me, to those old movies. I'm pretty sure if I watch like those movies today, you know, I wouldn't be like scared as I've been like with 16 or something, you know,
for sure.
Yeah. And I think, about the sensation that you still got in your mind, it's super, super hard like to recreate that, because I mean, that stuff is already kind of like overused, I would say, you know. And I mean, you have seen it all. I think nowadays you need to like deal with this whole horror topic a bit more differently, you know. And I think maybe I can't find a connection to nowadays horror movies, because I think my taste in horror is a bit more subtle. Like I said, it's more like this, I don't know, psychological thing, you know. And I mean, if I want to talk about movies, it's like there are some games as well that are super, super intense. For example, there is Outlast, you know, it's just, you have a camera, you can't fight. And you're just like in this asylum building where there was a project and whatever, and you just go deeper and deeper. And like I said, you can't fight, you know, you can just run away. And they really just created a great game by those jump scares and everything, you know?
Yeah.
I remember like this one scene, there is a guy sitting in a wheelchair and you're passing him by. And of course you think, oh yeah, he's jumping up, you know, of course he's gonna do that. And this guy is jumping up, you know, but just, you have to pass him by like for four times. Something like that, you know. Usually it's like, I mean, a lot of movies and games are so, I don't know, is it the right word, foreshadowing?
Sometimes, maybe. Yeah. Just kind of like showing their hand in the earlier, is that what you're trying to say?
Now, I just wanted to say it's like so obvious what is going to happen, you know, in the next scene sometimes. It's like,
Oh, kind of like a predictability.
this is what that was the word I was
Okay.
looking for.
Because foreshadowing is on purpose, and foreshadowing can be good.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Okay, good.
but
All right, now I
predictability,
got it.
that I don't think anyone wants to be predictable.
That's true. And even if you're just creating a movie, it's like everything is so predictable, you know, at some points. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm just waiting like for something that I'm interested in again, you know.
And I
And
think
I'm
it's gonna
definitely,
come for sure.
I hope so. I have faith in you. If you promise me that there is something great gonna come, yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Well, I think what I like about the horror genre, especially, I mean, me being a horror podcaster, I've learned a lot about the history of horror. Just talking about horror movies every week, I do learn. there's always like trends in horror. And then there's always a movie that comes out and it
Yeah,
changes everything. And then there's a
that's
bunch of
true. Yeah,
copycats. And
exactly. Yeah.
you mentioned a bunch of them already. Halloween, Scream, The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Like, these are movies that are, there was nothing like them at their time.
True. Yeah.
Now there's a bunch of movies like them now because everyone
Yeah.
wanted to hop on those trends. But there's a reason why we still talk about like Halloween, Scream, and the Blair Witch.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm
Yeah.
also an eternal optimist, so
Okay, I got you.
but yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Something I
Yeah.
ask every week for my guest, because it's the title of the show. So for you,
Yeah.
if you found yourself in the world of Silent Hill,
Yeah.
would you die?
That's a good question. I think maybe not. Because if I'm good in something, it's like finding solutions, you know, somehow. I don't know if I'm gonna make it out of that world, but I think I will probably find some kind of a solution to stay alive, you know.
You know, I'd count that as a win. You'd find a way to
Okay.
kind of survive in that
Yeah.
world. I think that's I mean, that's what the characters did at the end of the movie, right? Like, they didn't make it out, but they
Yeah.
still found a way, you know. I'd consider that a win. Me, on the other hand,
This
oh
is what I
no.
love about the movie as well. It's like there is no happy end, you know? It's like they're still in Silent Hill, even if they reach their house, you know, and you don't know what will happen.
But it's not like a sad ending either.
Exactly. Yeah, they kind of, I mean, they're safe, but
Yeah.
they're definitely not back in their real life, you know. This is what I love
Right.
about it as well, because in the end of all the other movies, everything is all right. Oh yeah, there is a happy end. Everything's gonna be fine now, even if everybody's dead, you know. But there is like the situation, and it leaves you like with a weird feeling. Okay, they probably won't never come back. She will never see her husband again, stuck in Silent Hill. So how is life going on? You know, it like it just leaves you with those thoughts, you know. So that's a shitty feeling, you know. It's like, oh my God.
Right. And like
And what I like.
he's gonna keep looking for her too. He's not gonna ra you know.
Yeah, and this is like what makes the ending especially so intense. It's not like the feeling, okay, she has to move on somehow, because it's like, how can I say that? I think the end is so intense because it's not like that feeling, okay, somebody is dead. This is like an end, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever, it's like, okay, there is like an end, you know, if the killer got it, whatever. But in Silent Hill, it's like you're still in this world and you miss somebody and you know he is there, but you can't feel him and you can't, like, I don't know, go back to like the real world. How shitty
Right.
is that, you know? I think it's even probably worse because you have nothing you probably like could deal with, you know? And this
Yeah.
is what I love about that movie as well, because like this end is like, it leaves you with a lot of question marks in your mind, you know. So it's nothing like, okay, movie is over, so last one standing, she's gonna die, but let's wait for part two of the movie, you know, whatever. But now with Silent Hill, it's like, oh my God, you know,
Right.
you feel just sorry like for that situation, you know. And this, I think, it's super intense, like especially the end.
Yeah, I really enjoyed revisiting it, so I'm really happy that you picked it. I do gotta say, I would not make it nearly as far as you in the world of Silent Hill. The first time I see Pyramid Head, he's just gonna get me. And honestly, I'm not gonna try that hard because that's scary, and I don't want to be in that world. So.
I mean, he's slow, you know, that's the biggest advantage. You just have to watch, you just have to
I'll be
check on the
paralyzed with
signs.
fear, man. I don't think I'm gonna be thinking straight.
Yeah.
But this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you
Yeah,
so
that's
much for
true.
joining me
Thanks for
today.
having me.
Of course, where can people find your music?
I think the easiest way, like, to find everything I'm doing is Instagram. It's like Instagram.com/ghostkiddo, you know. Otherwise, just check for Ghost Kid, like with this weird O on Spotify, you know, or YouTube.
Awesome. Go check out Ghost Kid. And yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Thanks again to Sebastian for joining me today. Always a good time to revisit the world of Silent Hill. The new Ghost Kid album, Hollywood Suicide, drops this Friday, March 22nd, so be sure to check it out. Are you guys in the Ohio area? Well, if you're heading up Horror Hound Cincinnati this weekend, March 22nd through March 24th, and you see a familiar face, I'm referring to me, please say hi. I will be at Horror Hound this weekend. It's going to be a bunch of fun. And if I have any horror friends there, let me know. It'll be fun. The Patreon is back. That's right. If you really want to support this podcast, you can help me directly by subscribing to the Patreon. I retooled it so it's only $3 a month, and you'll get exclusive content and live streams for patrons only. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Would You Die YouTube channel. We just dropped my short film, Ice Scream, which crossed 1,000 views in over a week. That blows my mind. Thank you to everyone who watched my short film and commented really nice things. It was awesome to see such kind words. If you like this show, please let me know. Leave a review and rate on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to the show. Also, feel free to interact with me on social media, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you're most comfortable. It may not seem like a lot, but trust me, every single like, share, comment, follow really helps this podcast to grow and keeps me going. And feel free to let me know how I'm doing. What do you guys like about the show? Areas I can improve? Guests you'd like me to have on? Monsters you want me to talk about? Let me know what you guys think. A reminder, I just became an affiliate for Fangoria, one of the premier brands in horror. I definitely recommend checking out their magazine and even subscribing. And if you decide to do that, don't forget to use the promo code WoodyDieShow for 20% off your entire order. You can find the show's social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at WoodyDieShow. Also, now you can follow me on TikTok at WoodyDiePodcast. Would You Die is a partner with the Three Wise Men Media, a Metro Detroit-based group of awesome guys, Kyle, Tyler, and Dylan, where they bring you professional wrestling, indie comic books, and so much more. The music you hear in the beginning and end of each episode is composed by my friend, Josie Palmer. Next week, I'm bringing in one of my favorite duos to talk about one of my favorite monster duos. Y'all already know. Until next time, I'm Austin Torres. Try not to die.